Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Friday show. Jess Romero, Anita.
And Tobias and Sarah, we're here.
This is a spiritual warfare, basic spiritual warfare on Fridays. And it's for lay Catholics. And by the way, today on Friday is a very special day.
Yes, absolutely.
Around the country. We just came from Holy Mass. And in all the dioceses of the United States of America, January 22nd today is a particular day of prayer
for
the full restoration of the legal guarantee of the right to life and of penance for violations to the dignity of the human persons committed through the acts of abortion. I hope President Biden, Joe Biden, takes this very serious because he calls himself a devout Catholic. And yet, right from day one, he started promising legislation to strengthen Roe versus Wade.
President Biden, but also our bishops.
They were
our
quiet.
Were very quiet during the election regarding this candidate who is obstinately a pro-abortion candidate. Everybody knew it. All the bishops knew it.
They were quiet about it during the
elections. They're very quiet. Very quiet. Did not want to take a side. And now look at where we're at.
And now they've issued a letter. They've issued a statement.
Well, he wasn't even elected.
Yeah.
He stole the election.
Right. But the fact is, they issued a letter. And I'm just saying, wow, that's a good letter. They should have issued this letter a year ago. And they should have been drumming this letter every single day before the elections. A little too late. A little too late,
there's
bishops.
Only a few bishops and priests that were outspoken about this.
So
they should be thunderously speaking about this every day of the year.
Exactly.
Not just once a year. There's a prayer. Let's pray.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work.
Because as Pope John Paul II and even the U.S. bishops have agreed that the issue of abortion is the preeminent issue for Catholics today. Preeminent.
Absolutely.
Look it up in the dictionary. It means it's the most important issue. All right, enough of that. A little bit of good news. I'm going to get back to the most important topic, which is today's going to be part four on living in a state of grace. Because the way as a Catholic, I mean, I get emails all the time and people saying, I'm possessed. Most people aren't possessed, but most people are diabolically afflicted in some way, shape, or form if you're living in mortal sin. And so that's why we're doing these shows on Friday, because we're giving you the tools on how to heal and self-deliver and get back into a right relationship with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ in the sacraments.
Right.
And this is called living in a state of sanctifying grace. This is
and
very, very important.
And the way you do it is through catechesis, right?
You have to know your faith.
Faith, yep.
Demons are attracted.
Know it and live it.
Yeah. Demons are attracted to low information Catholics,
mm-hmm.
low information people. So we have to live our faith.
Absolutely.
Well, let's share this good news story, Anita, about it says mom wakes from coma the day before she was supposed to be removed from the ventilator.
Right. It was it's an article from the Texas Right to Life, January 15th. This miracle patient, her name was Lisa Martin. That's what they considered her, miracle patient. The Georgia mother, she was a mother of four, was admitted to the hospital in September with a COVID-related complications. Her condition deteriorated, and the hospital told her family to say goodbye. They're against the odds. Martin walked out of the hospital and went home on her way to recovery in December. So, wow, what a miracle is that? In a Facebook post from Memorial Stelia Health, the hospital shared part of Martin's story with a video of her walking to a waiting car while hospital staff stood to cheer her on. In the time when people want to hear good news, Martin's story of recovery is a beacon of hope. Gosh.
Here's what the hospital said.
Yeah,
her amazing journey includes 59 days on a ventilator, 40 days in an induced coma, and surviving a frontal lobe stroke. And the post continued, on October 20th, Lisa was comatose, her eyes fixed. The hospital called in her family to say goodbye. They decided to give it 11 days before making a decision about removing her from the ventilator that was breathing for her. But God had other plans. On the 11th day, Lisa broke through the sedatives and began tracking Jeff with her eyes. and she moved her hand. Martin told People magazine, quote, "I can't wrap my head around what all has happened," close quote. The experience has given Martin a lot to think about and process, and she still has a long road of rehabilitation ahead of her. Even so, she told People, quote, "I am shocked, but amongst all the overwhelming things, I feel like this is definitely a God thing," close quote.
Wow, that's beautiful. I think absolutely she said something, that's something for me to think about. I think we all need to start thinking about our possible death.
That's a good thing for Catholics to meditate on.
Absolutely.
Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. If all the saints say you want to become holy, meditate upon the four last things often. If you want the fast track to holiness, meditate upon the four things often.
Yep.
And the article continues right over here. It says, before her terrifying experience with COVID and the aftermath of her illness, Martin says she had reached a low point in her life. She said, "I got to a point where I felt like no one cared for me. I didn't have a lot of friends. My kids are all grown up and independent, and my husband works all the time. I was lonely, but this experience has shown me how loved I truly am.
For the Martin's family members, the experience has also strengthened their faith. Martin and her husband of 29 years, Jeff, have four adult children, ages 19 to 27. Martin's daughter, Madison, told People, quote, "Our family has always had a strong Christian faith, but going through this has changed our lives for the better," she explained. She continued, "Did it suck for my mom to get COVID, almost die, and now fight to get back to having a normal life? Absolutely. But if God wanted to use my mom as an example on how to keep faith during struggles, dark times, and hardships, then I thank God for using my mom."
Martin's
wow,
husband.
The conversion. There you go. The family.
Yeah, that affected the whole family.
Death.
And that's what a miracle could do, or a death in a family. It could bring
death and illness.
The graces of conversion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Martin's husband says he hopes his wife's story will, quote, encourage and help, close quote, people facing great difficulties. He said, "I know that doctors can treat patients medically, but healing comes from God." He acknowledged the many families who lost a loved one during the pandemic.
Martin is considered a miracle patient, but her recovery from the coma is not unique. When families face pressure from hospitals to remove life-sustaining care, lives can be cut short. Each year, Texas Right to Life hears from families in situations similar to Martin's. Organizations like Texas Right to Life, HALO, and the Terri Schiavo Hope and Life Network help patients and their families understand their rights and advocate for life in medically complex situations. When families know that they have options, they can stand for life. When options are denied in hospitals wrongly, have the power to make life and death decisions, the law needs to change.
For Lisa Martin, going home is the beginning of a long road to full recovery, but the experience has strengthened her faith in her family because her family gave her time. Lisa Martin remained on life-sustaining treatment when she needed the assistance and recovered when no one expected her to recover.
Wow.
That's our Friday good news story again.
Good news, beautiful story of life.
Yeah.
And how the family didn't give up. They just let things go, process her health until
things play out.
Yeah, and until you can't no more. And that's what happened.
Yeah, they used all what's called the natural means to keep her life sustained. And that's what we're called as Catholics. You have to use the ordinary and natural means to sustain a human life. You don't have to use the extraordinary means. That's Catholic moral teaching.
Yeah, and that's what we did with our mother. Our mother, at some point, she was not eating anymore. And they said, well, she's not eating. And it looked like they were telling us, we're just not going to feed her anymore. I said, nope, put a G-tube in. And we did that, and my mother survived another year, and she just passed away 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So you used
and thank you for your prayers. For
yeah.
all those.
Well, let's just pray right now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal rest grant to the Maria Chacon, the Lord,
and let your perpetual light shine upon her.
May the soul of Maria Chacon, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
By the way, today at Mass, a couple things jumped out at me as I was reading the scriptures. Some of the pre-mass prayers talked about God's covenant. He remembers his covenant forever. Let's remember one thing. No matter who's president, no matter what corruption is happening in a country or in politics, God has established a covenant with us through his son, Jesus Christ. Nobody can break the covenant. Not communists, not Democrats, not Republicans, nobody. Okay? The covenant that God has established with us is forever. Remember that. And there's nothing on planet Earth that can break that covenant. It exceeds any political ideology, any political party, or any political person. We are in a covenant relationship with God the Father through his son, Jesus Christ. Covenants are permanent, except when you want to break the covenant with God by a mortal sin. So nothing that's happened in this country has broken that covenant that God has made with us individually as Catholics through his son, Jesus Christ. I just want to mention that jumped out at me at Mass. Also, at the psalm at Mass, it says, justice and peace shall kiss. Well, you know when justice and peace is going to kiss? In heaven entirely. Heaven's going to be a place of perfect peace because it's going to be run by Jesus Christ. Okay, well, the one world government by Jesus Christ is going to have perfect peace and perfect justice. In this world, you'll never find perfect justice. Every now and then you get it, but you're never going to find it entirely in this world.
Our patron saint of the unborn, Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Right. Pray for them. Pray for all your children, all your unborn babies.
Pray for the conversion of those that are promoting abortion.
Pray for the conversion of Joe Biden.
Pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Patroness of the Americas,
pray for us.
Patroness of the pro-life movement,
pray for us.
You know, when you start Holy Mass or any prayer as a Catholic, you start entering into spiritual warfare because you do this. You go, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So you start with the sign of the cross. Anita, what do some of the great theological giants in the church say about the power of the sign of the cross?
Yes, well, St. Clement of Rome, he says that the use of the sign of the cross against demons. So that
use the sign of the cross.
Use the sign of the cross. Against demons. Yeah. St. Athanasius says the sign of the cross drives demons away. Father Gabriel Morth, the exorcist, rest in peace, says that the sign of the cross chases demons away.
Wow.
St. Catherine Siena, she says, we must fight demons courageously by the sign of the cross.
Doctor of the church.
Yep. St. John Vianney, the demon is very cunning, but he is not strong. Making a sign of the cross puts him to flight.
All of our prayers, either our private prayers or Holy Mass, starts with the sign of the cross. So you're throwing the gauntlet down and you're saying, you know what? Right. You're putting the white flag of Jesus Christ and Our Lady. And you're saying, I'm following Jesus and I'm not listening to you.
Yeah, and it should start in the morning. Once you get up or even your eyes wake up, time to get up, do the sign of the cross because you're already in the spiritual battle. You're in war at that point when you open your eyes.
This is it right here. Right? You want to start spiritual warfare as a Catholic? Here it is. In the name of the Father and of the Son
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, some people do the triple sign. That comes from the Council of Trent. Some people go like this, you know, may the Lord be on my mind. May the Lord be on my lips. May the Lord be on my heart. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's a triple sign. You could do that one as well. In Spanish, they do that.
Right.
Por la señal de la Santa Cruz de nuestros enemigos, líbranos, Señor Dios nuestro, en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo. Amen. I remember that from my parents.
Yeah.
I did that all my life.
They did a good job.
Yeah, I guess they did. So now we go to the most powerful prayer given to us by the Lord.
The perfect prayer.
Yeah, it is a perfect prayer.
It's a perfect prayer.
You have all the graces of Calvary, the infinite graces of Calvary flowing when the Mass starts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is attending Holy Mass an obligation?
Absolutely. Attending Holy Mass each Sunday is a holy day of obligation.
What about the holy days of obligation?
And there are holy days of obligation, other days outside of Sunday Mass, which are obligatory.
Six
and
of them in
the
U.S.
There's six, absolutely.
Six in the US.
And you could just Look it up in the internet. Which are the days of holy obligation? So I need to attend those extra days during outside of Sunday
and
Mass.
And there are only six. Can you imagine?
Right.
It's wow, the church
right,
is, you know.
Right.
Don't complain. And by the way, what my wife said, is it in the catechism?
It's in the catechism. It's catechism paragraph 2180 and 2181.
So we're not making this up.
No, okay? It says this. Attend Holy Mass each Sunday and holy days of obligation.
Now, theoretically in the catechism, it does say this, that, and that'll probably be next week's show, you're only required to receive Holy Communion once a year. But again, I get that. I get that. That's
the minimum.
That's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
But again, I think when you attend daily Mass, like my wife does and I try to, attending daily Mass when possible, you're going to receive more sanctifying grace. And the more sanctifying grace, the better your soul
your walk with the Lord is stronger.
and you'll be more protected by the diabolical because you continue just receiving sanctifying grace. And again, you're going to be protected and your walk with the Lord will be stronger.
Yeah. And what do? You need to get there early. Get there 5-10 minutes before and just sit there. Either, you know, you kneel and you just thank the Lord for allowing you to. It's a privilege to go to Mass. It really is. It's
Look at
a
how
privilege.
Many countries can't do that.
Yeah, a lot of countries.
And we almost experienced it here for a while.
Right, absolutely we did.
So
yeah. And now the churches are opening up,
granted.
Whether you're outside or inside. Yeah, we shouldn't take it. This should be a learning lesson for all of us. And I don't see this stopping now this new government in
Let's just say
administration.
If full-blown out communism comes into America one day, let's just say, okay? Guess what communists do with the Mass? They either stop them or start killing priests or just shut them down.
Right.
And don't think for a second, especially right now, that, communism will never come to America, not us. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Did you see how easily these elections were stolen?
Right.
And
Absolutely.
So, all right, let's go get back to the Mass.
Yeah, let's get back to the Mass. So you need to go in with joy and, wow, I'm going to be here and I'm going to worship our Lord. And just give whatever you're bringing to Him at the foot of the cross.
That's right.
And that's, as Catholics, that's what we need to do. And remember, you know, there's, at the beginning of Mass, after the Lord, the priest does the opening prayer, you know, we do our miserere point in the Mass where we ask God for His mercy. I call it miserere because that's what it is, mercy. And I was reading Psalm 51 and I thought, wow, that's such a beautiful prayer. And it's a prayer of repentance.
Yeah.
Repentance and asking
with
forgiveness.
Bathsheba.
Absolutely, it is. And that's something that we need to keep in mind when we go there.
I'll tell you something very beautiful about the Mass. Either the Latin Mass or the Novus Ordo Masses. The Masses are, and the Latin Mass, of course, you can see more so, but the Masses are, they're penitential. That's the way it starts. When you go to Mass and listen to the prayers, you know you're a sinner.
Right.
Because that's what the church, Mother Church is saying, okay, get over here, you're a sinner. And the church teaches us to repent. The church is asking us to have an interior change, is asking us to have a conversion, a metanoia. And you get that from all the opening prayers of the Mass. Now, in the Latin Mass, it's pretty much sustained throughout the entire Mass. It's penitential from beginning to end, just about. But let me tell you how powerful the Mass is. Saint Padre Pio said, the world could exist more easily without the sun than without Mass.
Wow,
look at the sun Mass. Saint Padre Pio says we can live without the sun. We can't live without the Mass.
Yeah, and there's some other saints too. We have Saint Augustine. The angels surround and help the priest when he's celebrating Mass. Wow,
you could see what Saint Augustine said in that movie that came out.
It's called.
It was a cartoon that came out a few years ago.
Yeah, it's an animated.
The miracle of.
El Gran Milagro,
the great miracle.
They have it in English and in Spanish, and it shows during the consecration all the angels just descend there on the altar. Just
what Saint Augustine
beautiful.
Said.
That's what Saint Augustine said, and it's it verifies what he said. It just puts it in you could see it.
You could also see that from Scripture, and I think in Genesis 38 talks about Jacob's ladder, and the angels come down and they go up on this ladder. That's what happens at Mass. Jacob's ladder comes down because the priest is in the person of Christ, and the prayers are taken to God the Father by angels, and God's grace has come down through the angels. The angels are the mediators taking our prayers and bringing God's graces down. That's the function of an angel.
Yeah, that's just so beautiful. We could just remember that.
Just imagine that when you're at Mass, then it'll just change your perspective.
Yep. And there, another St. John Vianney, he says, if we really understood the Mass, we would die of joy.
I think, you know, what he means by that is that, well, he says it in another place here. Yeah. He says, okay, all the good works in the world are not equal to the holy sacrifice of the Mass because they are the works of men. But the Mass is the work of God. Martyrdom is nothing in comparison, for it is but the sacrifice of man to God. But the Mass is the sacrifice of God for man. In other words, the Mass is the once and for all sacrifice of Calvary made present here and now. That's what St. John Vianney is saying. If you only knew, you're saying, I wasn't at Calvary. I watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ. Our Lady was there, St. John, Mary, Mary was there. I wasn't there. Yes, you were. When was the last time you went to Mass? You were at Calvary. That's what John Vianney just said right now.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And that is very deep. Some people, if they only
knew.
We can't even wrap our mind around it. We can't. We will. God willing, we hope to reach the beatific vision, right?
That's right.
Okay. So then, and there's other saints that I just love the way these saints express what Mass is. When we receive Holy Communion, we experience something extraordinary, a joy, a fragrance, a well-being that thrills the whole body and causes it to exalt. St. John Vianney.
Read that one again. Do it slow. Okay.
When we receive Holy Communion, we experience something extraordinary, a joy, a fragrance, a well-being that thrills the whole body and causes it to exalt. St. John Vianney.
See, this is important. Right now, a lot of people are suffering with anxiety and depression and stress. Go to Mass as often as possible. What you just read right there are the effects of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist.
Right.
All of us need are those effects because our emotions are targeted by demons. Mm-hmm. And the Eucharist actually helps order and just make your emotions just firm and submit it to your intellect and to your will.
Right.
And so that was a very powerful quote that you just shared right there.
Yeah, and we just, this morning we were talking about how important it is as Catholics. We have, during this time of trial, a lot of us are just really down about what's gone on in the last 2 months, really, with the elections and the inauguration and all this that's going on. But we're just talking about how we have an outlet. Us Catholics, we have an outlet. We can daily Mass. We pray the Rosary.
Divine Mercy.
Adoration. We have
Angelus.
All these avenues to heal our hearts and put us back into perspective that it's where our hope is in Christ,
not in any man,
and that the world is gonna disappoint us at every corner, so we shouldn't be surprised. But we have this avenue, thank you Jesus. Whereas I feel for the Protestants, I'm not saying that they don't pray, but we have many avenues to heal.
We have a lot more tools than any religion.
Absolutely. Our toolbox is full. We just got to grab them. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or a war bag.
Our war bag. Lunchbox.
Yes. I think there's another from St. John Vianney. There is nothing so great as Eucharist. If God had something more precious, he would have given it to us.
Yeah, there is nothing more. The Eucharist, I'm going to make it simple.
The source and summit of our faith.
Then the Eucharist is God.
Yep.
And again, this is why there's a battle for the liturgy. You have, the good bishops want liturgical reform and want things done right. And then you have a cadre of bad people in the church that want to mess with the Mass because the Mass is the highest form of prayer. They want to weaken the graces that flow from the Mass. And so, again, that the St. Thomas Aquinas says, the celebration of the Holy Mass is as valuable as the death of Jesus on the cross. Now, why would he say that? I'll tell you why he says that. Because the Mass is. It's not another sacrifice. It's that same sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary, that same sacrifice. It's made present by the power of God in the altar at your parish. It's not another sacrifice like the Protestants say. It's the same sacrifice made present.
And here comes Our Lady.
Here comes our
protector. Lady who gave us hope, Jesus.
Yes.
In her womb.
Ora por
Thank you, Mother Mary. We love you.
Por nosotros. Pray for us. Pray for America.
Pray for us. Bright little dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Spiritual warfare, that's what we do on Fridays as a couple, the sacrament of matrimony. The devil wants to tear into marriages. Trust me, he wants to tear into ours too. We're not any different. So don't think like, oh, these guys got it all together. Man, he goes after us. You would not believe it, okay? And I'm going to tell you how he goes after us and all of us. It's simple, and you got to just catch yourself. And it's hard. It's hard. That's why all the spiritual warfare writers say humility is the greatest weapon against this devil. I don't have much humility, and probably you don't either. And probably most spouses don't either. And that's where we're always going to go
lopsided.
Like this.
Sometimes always. Pride takes over our humility.
Yeah. Once you learn humility, I'm going to tell you, you're going to live heaven on earth. I haven't learned it yet, so don't look at me as an icon of humility.
Or don't look at me.
Yeah, don't look at us, okay? We're like, you know.
Look at Jesus.
Yeah, we're basically still working on
Saints
it.
Saints in the making.
Yeah. But again, a basic thing about spiritual warfare, and we'll do another show later on it, is again, there has to be proper order in the family. Patriarchy has to be respected, but you can't be abused. You can't act like a macho man. And then matriarchy has a role as well, a helpmate.
Yeah.
Everybody has to stay within their lanes, and there's going to be order in the family. If not, forget it. That's exactly what the devil wants, is disorder. But we're talking about the mass, the power of the mass.
And that's where, just to mention today's readings, where Jesus is giving them an authority, that's where the beginning stages of the apostles.
He made them exorcists.
Right,
today.
At that point.
Today's reading.
Yeah,
it's
if
in
you read the readings,
Mark chapter
look at it.
3. In the Novus Ordo Mass, verses 13 and 19, Jesus made the 12 apostles exorcists today. And I'll talk a little bit about that after I quote St. John Chrysostom here.
Yep.
But let's go to the next quote here.
Yeah, okay, so our next quote is, man should tremble, the world should vibrate. All heaven should be deeply moved when the Son of God appears on the altar in the hands of the priest. St. Francis of Assisi. So why do you think the Satanists and witches and occultists go into a Catholic mass and they still Holy Communion?
Because they know what he said is true.
Right.
Because
they know he says it, because they believe that Jesus Christ, that is Jesus Christ. And they're like demons, these Satanists. They're afflicted. So they believe, but they don't obey.
Yeah, because that's what the Bible says about demons in John chapter 2:19.
Yep.
Demons believe in God.
Yep.
It says it right in the Bible.
Yep. It says, they're saying, what do you
But
have?
They don't obey.
Yeah.
There it is. It says in James 2:19, demons believe in God.
Yep.
They're not atheists. Demons aren't atheists. They believe in God. They just don't obey God.
Yep.
And this is the same with the occultists. That's
pretty revealing.
Yeah.
It is pretty revealing that they know who God is, but they don't want to.
They saw him once upon
a time.
They're
not obedient.
They were in heaven as angels.
Yes.
They saw him.
Yes.
Now, here's a powerful quote, and I'm going to just tie it into today's gospel reading. Today, our Lord, in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 19, gives the 12 apostles the power to drive out demons. Okay. And that was given fully, and what's called the plenary authority to drive out demons was given to the apostles. Mm-hmm. However, I'm going to give you a way to drive out demons from your life. It's written by one of the doctors of the church. His name's St. John Chrysostom. So you want to know how you have the power to drive out a demon? Listen to this. St. John Chrysostom, 4th century doctor of the church. He says, God has given me also another weapon of protection. Of what kind? He has prepared a table for me. He has shown me a food with which will fill me, that after I have been refreshed here, I may overcome the enemy with more strength. When the enemy sees you go out from the Lord's banquet, he flees you as if you were a lion breathing fire from your mouth.
Wow.
Faster than the wind, he, the devil, leaves you and does not dare approach. When the cruel enemy, the devil, sees your tongue red and blood, believe me, he does not resist. When he sees your mouth glowing red, he turns back terrified. Close quote.
Wow.
So if you want to know, God gave us the power to drive out demons as well, like in today's gospel. He gave it to us. If you receive the Eucharist, when you receive the Eucharist, mm-hmm. that's an act right there that drives demons away from you personally. Now, to go more into that, the apostles have full authority to drive out demons from anybody. And that gift was given, or that charism, or that office is given to the bishops. Even if they're liberals or bad, they have the office of an apostle to drive out demons. They may not use it.
Yep.
The rest of us, every person, and get this, because this is important, every person, every baptized person has the power to self-deliver from a demon. You have the power because you are you, and you have full plenary and authority and power over your person to drive out a demon by practicing your faith, by a life of prayer, and receiving the sacraments. You have the power to fulfill what the gospel says today in Mark chapter 3. So all of us have been given the power to drive out demons personally in ourselves, and also to those under you, your own little church, those under your authority.
Wow, St. John Chrysostom is so wise.
And pray for us.
And just as he empowers us. See how these saints, they empower us, especially. That's why it's so important for us as Catholics to read Lives of the Saints, because there's a lot of wisdom that they're imparting. And look at that. Once you receive communion and you go back to your pew, you are like a lion breathing fire.
What a ferocious vision.
That is. I could imagine if it.
That's how the devil sees you.
If we could really see that,
wow.
Just imagine everybody's mouth just flames just coming out and full, I mean, at its max.
Yeah, that's what demons see.
Yep.
That's what demons see when they see you coming back from Holy Communion. You look ferocious.
Yep. Especially for those living in a state of grace,
yeah.
Because.
Now,
I'm not there to judge anybody, but...
That's a good point. If you're not in a state of grace and you're receiving Holy Communion, like many people probably did today, that's a sacrilege. Now, that's another mortal sin.
Right.
On top of the mortal sins that you already have. Mm-hmm. So that's an additional mortal sin. So what happens there, you become a magnet for the diabolical. Demons are attracted to people in mortal sin.
Right.
And in fact... exorcists will tell you that one unconfessed, unrepentant mortal sin, one can cause demonic possession.
Yep.
Now, exorcists will teach God generally doesn't allow that to happen just because he's merciful and he loves us. But one more unconfessed mortal sin can cause demonic possession. But God, in his infinite mercy, generally doesn't allow that to happen.
And those of you that go to Mass, and if you feel that you're in a mortal sin or you need some sins to confess, don't feel bad or don't feel like everybody's going to look at you and ask, why didn't you receive communion? It's better that you don't receive in sacrilege than if you receive.
Of course.
Better to sit there
don't be pressured
and
to
do
receive.
Spiritual communion. That's what we got that prayer. Oh, Jesus, I believe that thou art present in the most blessed sacrament. I love thee above all things, and I desire to possess thee within my soul. Since I'm unable now to receive you sacramentally, please come spiritually into my life. I embrace you as being already there and unite myself wholly and entirely to you. Amen. And what covers this is, remember, the catechism gives you the minimum requirement, once a year receive communion. So don't feel bad that you didn't receive that Sunday, but get to confession. Get to confession as soon as you can, and don't feel bad. Of course, we want to receive communion. We want that sanctifying grace. But know this, you yourself as a practicing Catholic, and you know the deep recesses of your soul, where you're at, that's going to help you get through that situation that you're getting that you're going through.
St. Catherine of Siena, who's a doctor of the church, she talks about the two ways that we commune with God, mm-hmm. and the effects of it. Now, she says that receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is like giving God a brick of gold and God returning gold back to you. So that reciprocity, you're giving God the gold, you know, in the ancient world, that's the best mineral you can give somebody. St. Catherine of Siena, mm-hmm. she says giving God, making spiritual communion a prayer of uniting yourself to Jesus spiritually, she says that's like giving silver to God, which is another mm-hmm. precious mineral in the ancient world, and God giving you silver back. So both ways you make spiritual communion with God, but again, receiving the Holy Eucharist is the highest form,
right.
or the
Absolutely.
Best way, because gold is better than silver.
Just keep on going for those graces.
Yeah,
graces.
So that's the analogy that St. Catherine of Siena
says. That's beautiful. I did read that, and I thought, wow, that is just, because you know the difference between those two metals,
yeah.
which is more
precious. And expensive.
Mm-hmm. And that's why our chalices should be made of gold, gold and silver. That's
exactly
every chalice in the altar, every holy utensils. I don't want to say utensils, but all the objects on the altar. I lost my train of thought on that one. But
what do they call them? All the accoutrements.
That's the accoutrements.
The
yeah.
accoutrements that are used.
Yeah.
All the liturgical articles that are used at Holy Mass.
For the consecration, yeah. the holding of the precious.
The patens, all that.
Yeah,
you know.
The precious body and the precious blood.
Yeah, the ciborium, all that should be gold. All that should be gold.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to move on now to continue. It's basically segues. It's part of it.
Right.
Is something that's very powerful. It's called visiting Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, or we call it Eucharistic Adoration. Some parishes have perpetual adoration. Some parishes just have partial adoration. Some don't. Some don't have an adoration chapel, but you can always go to the church and sit there quietly, or pray, or read your Bible, or pray a rosary, or another devotion in front of Jesus Christ, who's inside the tabernacle. Now, as a Catholic, if you want to stay strong against the devil, because this is a spiritual warfare show, and on Fridays we're talking about spiritual warfare, Catholic
wow.
practices.
Oh. Our third segment is already ending. Here comes our Mother Mary,
our great protector.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 Friday show. By the way, everything that we're talking about right now, I put it in a book. It's called Lord Prepare My Hands for Battle. Everything I'm drawing right now is from my book, Lord Prepare My Hands for Battle. I figured this out many years ago when I have a lot of priest friends who are in deliverance and exorcism, and having helped them out, I've noticed that the only people that get delivered from the devil or demons are people that cooperate with, again, the prayers of the priests, but also that turn to Christ and live radically in a state of mm-hmm. grace. I know a lot of possessed people that have never delivered. They remain possessed to this day because all they want to do is get prayed over by a priest, and that just gives you temporary relief. That's why I wrote this book years ago, because watching exorcisms and talking to the possessed people, I'm saying, wow. This person completely changed their life, started going to daily mass, praying the rosary, mm-hmm. you know, Angelus 6 a.m., 12 a.m., 6, this person delivered. And they'll tell you, they go, it was the prayers that drove them back. It wasn't really the priest. The priest, it made me feel better. Yeah. It gave me relief, but it was me changing my life. That's why I wrote the book, because I've come to realize, and I've consulted with the greatest exorcists in the country. They all say, Jess, you're 100% right. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, deliverance from the devil in a person's body or oppression or obsession is self-deliverance at the end of the day. The person has to enter intellectually and by an act of their will, and these are the only persons that deliver. You can keep on going to a priest for 10 or 20 years and, Father, pray for me, Father. I've seen it. You become a spiritual heroin addict. And that's why I wrote this book to help people break the diabolical and self-deliver by going back to the teachings of the Catholic Church and living them. I want to talk about Eucharistic adoration.
Yeah, let's talk about that along with what you just said. So here we go. It says, visit the Blessed Sacrament, adoration, same thing, at least once a week and pray a rosary, divine chaplet, read your Bible. You can read your catechism or some other good spiritual book. St. Thomas Aquinas, another saint, St. Jose Maria de Escriva, and St. John Henry Newman, they wrote some of the most beautiful prayers on their knees before the Blessed Sacrament. Many saints did a daily holy hour in Eucharistic adoration and silent contemplation, like St. John Vianney, the Cure of Ours.
And Venerable Sheen.
Yeah, Venerable Sheen. And I believe St. John Paul II. He would do a daily holy hour. You also believe, you have to believe with all your heart in the true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, and ask him to save, sanctify, and set you free.
I know this one girl that's possessed. We know her. We won't mention her name. That's how she delivered. She self-delivered in front of the Blessed Sacrament. She stood there for hours, and she was fully possessed, and she was begging Jesus, I'm not going to leave until you save me, till you make me holy, till you set me free and deliver me, crying and crying and begging. Right. And it took about 5 hours, and she was completely delivered in the Blessed Sacrament from demonic possession. I know another friend from San Bernardino, fully possessed. He doesn't mind me saying his name because David Arias. Mm-hmm. He self-delivered from demonic possession. He was part of the Church of Satan by staying on his knees for hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament, crying and pleading and supplicating, and Jesus broke the diabolical possession and set him free and liberated him.
And why? Because it's the act of the will. Act of the will. If your will is weak, I mean, at that point, all their will is weak. It's just a matter of, do you want it or do you don't want it?
And
do
God
you want to be
the
healed?
Grace.
God's going to give you grace. You got to ask him and with sincere and love, I want to be healed and I want to serve you. That's another thing. It's not just healing now, but living the life of sanctity.
That's right. Yeah, we all have to decide to become saints. We have to. Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to just say a shout out to all the people on the chat. Very faithful people. They're here every Friday and stuff. Or
every day.
Every day. Listening to Jesus 911. So I just really appreciate all the people that chime in and are on the chat. The Catechism says about the real presence in paragraph 1413, by the consecration, the transubstantiation, that means transfer of substance, of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ is brought about. Mm-hmm. Under the consecrated species of bread and wine, Christ himself, living and glorious, is present in a true, real, and substantial manner, his body and his blood with his soul and his divinity. That's the official teaching of the Catholic Church, East and West.
Right, there you go. Catechism 1413, he just read it. And then here we go, our next paragraph, Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1418, it says, because Christ himself is present in the sacrament of the altar, he is to be honored with the worship of adoration. To visit the Blessed Sacrament is a proof of gratitude, an expression of love, and a duty of adoration toward Christ our Lord. Wow, those three things. Gratitude, proof of gratitude, an expression of love, and a duty of adoration toward Christ our Lord. There we go. We got to honor our commander who's God, and that's our duty.
Yeah, male and female, we're called soldiers of Christ. That's in the Bible. And so I like the language of the Catechism.
That's beautiful.
Soldiers have a what? Duty.
Very military.
Duty. The Latin word is munus. Duty and obligation to Christ our Lord, who's our general, our King of Kings, and Lord of Lords.
Yep, and he deserves everything. All our body from head to toe.
Yeah.
All of us.
Here's something else very interesting that Pope Benedict told us in a homily, which it's mind-blowing. He said that the Latin word for adoration is ad oratio, which means, from Latin to English, it means mouth-to-mouth contact, or it means a kiss, or it means an embrace, and hence ultimately love. Okay?
Wow, that is so revealing. Think about this. People that are suffering respiratory arrest or cardiac arrest, what happens? You start doing compressions and you do mouth to mouth. You're giving them, you know,
it's life.
And that's what adoration is. It gives you
mouth
life.
Mouth to mouth.
New life.
Yeah.
When we, Jesse and I, we go
on Monday nights.
On Monday nights at 12 midnight.
So
12
Tuesday
to 1.
Morning, actually.
Yeah,
Tuesday morning. Right.
Absolutely. But we, you know, get up at 11:30.
Yeah.
So that's when we go and we give our Lord. We receive mouth to mouth.
Right, right. And think about this. Adoration is where God gives us mouth to mouth resuscitation spiritually. Just like God breathed. The Bible says this, he breathed the breath of life into Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
Wow.
That's what adoration is. It's mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Yep. Right, the life of God.
I want to talk a little bit now about the results of Eucharistic adoration. What's point number one on it that's in my book?
Okay, let's see. Point number one. Each hour you spend with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, he will give you a deep peace within your heart. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. You can find that in the book, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Wow. That, don't you feel a sense of peace when you walk in?
Absolutely.
It's quiet. It's time to just focus on our Lord. Thank him. Jess and I, we go.
That's the highest form of prayer. It's called contemplation, just sacred silence. You're reaching the highest point of prayer. That this is. You know, some people could even reach mystical union, which is the highest form of prayer in an adoration chapel, because it's the perfect place to reach that sacred silence.
Right.
What's point
right.
number two, Anita?
Okay, point number two. Jesus will give you all the graces, strength you need to live an obedient, faithful life. Quote, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. So there you go. He's going to give you the graces and the strength.
Because you're asking. You're there and you're asking.
There. You're praying for yourself. You're praying for your family members. You're praying for our church. You're praying. There's just so much to pray for.
It's the Matthew 7:7 principle. Ask and you'll receive.
Right. Right.
Point number three.
For peace in our country. If my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14.
If everything's
turn.
Contingent
if.
On if. If my people pray, if my people repent, if my people turn from their wicked ways, then there's the if is important. We've got to get the if right as Catholics here in this country. What's point number five?
Point number four.
Or four.
Is each hour you spend with Jesus on earth will leave your soul everlastingly more beautiful and glorious. They who humble themselves shall be exalted. That's Luke 18:14. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into his very image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So, wow, that's spending each hour with him is just going to give, it's going to be more glorious for us. We just have a sneak preview of him, but going in front of the Blessed Sacrament is just so.
Yeah, it's you just read in Scripture.
Yep.
When you spend time in front of Jesus, who's God, it says in Scripture.
Yep.
All of us gazing on the Lord's glory. That's what happens in adoration, with unveiled faces. There's nothing covering you. Are being transformed from glory to glory. You're becoming.
We're going to be like
holier.
Moses. Coming from the mountain.
As you spend time in adoration, the Bible says, you're 2 Corinthians 3:18, you're becoming holier. To get to heaven, what do you need to get to heaven? You have to be wholly perfected in holiness.
Not a good person,
holy. No, or a nice person.
There's a difference.
Holy.
Holy.
Adoration helps you become holy so you can spend less time in purgatory. Is a place where people or the souls are there to become holy. You're being purified. Yeah. Hey, why don't you help yourself out now by spending time in adoration? What's the next one?
And especially since this is a spiritual warfare show, remember, every time you go to adoration, you are injuring those demons.
That's right.
So prayer, make sure at
prayer
least,
injures demons.
Prayer injures demons. You're going once a
Saint
week.
St. Faustina said that in paragraph 320 of her diary, when you do adoration, your prayers are injuring demons. Paragraph 320 of her diary. Point number five.
Okay, Jesus will bless you and your family for this holy hour you spend with him in the Blessed Sacrament. Blessed are they who do not see yet believe. John 20:29. What is needed is trust. Mark 5:36. Behold, I come to make all things new. Revelation 21:5.
Of course he's going to bless you because you're spending time with him. Yep. When you spend time with God, the only thing you're going to get out of that is blessings and graces. Point number six.
Each moment you spend with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament brings joy, pleasure, and delight to his Sacred Heart. My joy, my delight, my pleasure is to be with you. Proverbs 8:31.
Of course you want to make him happy. You want to make him. And last one.
Just as you can't be exposed to the sun without receiving its rays, neither can you be exposed to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament without receiving the divine rays of his grace, his love, and his peace. Christ is truly Emmanuel, that is, God with us day and night. He is in our midst. He dwells with us full of grace.
Up Pope next, Gary Paul Machuda. Up next, Hands
Have
on Apologetics. God
weekend.
Bless you. Have a great weekend.
See you next time.
Same Christ time, same Christ channel. We're 10-7. We're out. Justin and Anita, Tobias and Sarah. We're out.